Blog Talk Radio.
On the Shelly Nunchuck Show with my little furball co-host, Kitty Jackie Chan. Let me say, I am a tired puppy. After working 10 hours today and doing the radio show tonight, I am ready for bed right now. I hope I don't fall asleep on my guest, because I had him call in the show one time before. He's really very cool, very down to earth. He's a stuntman that's been working in the business for quite some time now. He's worked on sets from anywhere from like Steve McQueen to the hit show The Walking Dead. And I'm going to have him on in just about a minute. And all those that like to call in, remember how it goes. I usually, you know, talk with the special guest for a little while, and then people come call in. And please remember to respect my guest. Anyone that disrespects my guest, I automatically disconnect. Okay, I'm going to bring up Tommy Mac. Turvey, if I can say his name correctly, because it's Tommy Mac Turvey, but I think it's senior, because I was looking up on IMDb on the page, and I think it was some other guy with his name. So I was bringing up some of his stuff here and wanted to know. I was trying to look up a biography of Tommy, but I guess he can tell me a lot about himself. And he's worked on Burn Notice. I still have yet to watch The Greening of Whitney Brown. Let's see, Walking Dead, and let's see, what else has he worked on? The Dark Knight, Miami Vice, and those are just to name a few here and there. Oh, wow, Transporter 2, The Dukes of Hazzard. No way, Tommy. He's worked on Dukes of Hazzard. Let's see. Oh, no. Sheena? Oh, come on now. This is stuff that I probably watched. Muppets from Space? Oh, come on now, Tommy. Really? Seriously? What else? What else? Oh, my gosh. It's like I said, all these stunt people. Really pretty cool that I've been watching their stuff. Swamp Thing, the TV series. Oh, my gosh. I guess he has worked on Lethal Weapon 2. Yeah, and the Steve McQueen, I think it was Junior Bonner. He did stunts in there, The Great American Cowboy. Well, let's see. I think this could be him in the stunt room. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Shelly.
Hi, this is Tommy.
Yes,
hi,
ma'am.
Thank you for being on my show. Thank you so much.
Shoot, thanks for having me.
I am so excited. I've been, you know, going over your IMDb page. I pulled it up, and I was trying to find, you know, you, and I think someone has almost the same exact name as you.
Yeah, it's my son, Junior.
Is that really him? I didn't really realize that. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, because when I pulled it up, I was like, because I thought you spelled your name T-O-M-I-E, but on your IMDb page, it's T-O-M-M-Y.
Well, the reason for that is because Screen Actors Guild years ago spelled my name like that, and it's almost impossible. If they change it, then all of a sudden they start putting my son's credits on mine or mine on my son's credits. It's been so long, it's just easier to put T-O-M-M-Y, but my name is spelled with I-E. My son's just the same, but Junior.
Oh, okay. So you're working with him this week, right?
Yeah, Tommy's he's working on Burn Notice this week down in Miami.
Oh, really? I still have yet to see that, to see the show, because I don't have a TV, but once it gets on Netflix or whatever, I can actually watch it, because last time we talked, I think you told me you were driving a big truck through the gates on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a Dodge 4x4. I think a half ton was spun out. And had to go through a gate. Oh, I had to back up into some cylinders, not hit them, gas cylinders, and then speed off and then go through the gate and make an Alaman right like a 90 so I didn't go into the river. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
You must have a ball. I mean, all these years working in stunts, and I like to ask you, you know, questions. Like, first of all, how did you get into stunts? I mean, how did you get into that? Is it something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, I think I grew up in Southern California, and that's just what I wanted to do. I wanted to join the Marine Corps. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to be a cowboy, a fighter, and a stuntman. So I've got to do them all, and I'm pretty happy.
Oh, cool. And how did you, what was the first set you actually worked on?
The first set was, actually it was Junior Bonner. But I was just a kid, you know, a cowboy. I looked like a baby. They checked my IDs in bars until I was, I think, 28. So I just was a goofy kid, but I could ride 3 Rough Stock events and a bulldog it. So mainly they wanted me just to ride, and I could fall off pretty good without getting hurt. So, and I wasn't old enough to go into bars to do the bar brawl. I would have gave anything to go in there and do that, but I wasn't old enough. And I wasn't in the stunt business well enough then. All I could do was, well, I could do a lot, but I haven't proven myself where anybody would hire me for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we did in Prescott, Arizona at the rodeo there.
Oh, so have you always lived in California your whole life? I mean, how did you, I know you said the service and such, but how did you end up in California? Because I think it says you're living in Florida. Are you originally from California?
I'm originally from Bentonville, Arkansas, but we moved when I was 3 years old to Southern California. But Southern California was different because it was full of horses. Everybody was in the water, scuba diving, surfing. Everybody could go right to the mountains and play in the snow, or you could go right to the desert and do motocross forever. So it was just a good place to grow up. And then I would go back to my relatives in Arkansas and visit. So I got to have the best of both worlds.
So how did you get into, like, with the horses? Because I was like, I know people are going to be really interested in one of the shows that you run. But, Chris, how did you get into doing those, training the horses and such? Is it something you've been doing since you were little? Have you lived on a farm? I mean, how did you get into doing that?
My grandpa had a horse, but that was just a farm horse. But in California, we had San Gabriel Riverbed, which we lived right by. So all of the girls wanted to ride horses. So I like horses anyways, and girls were just added incentive. So I just spent years and years riding on San Gabriel Riverbed and Long Beach and Lakewood area. So we did a ton of that. And then when I went to the Marine Corps, I run the rodeo grounds there for about 3 years, a little over 3 years. So that was my job, just running rodeo grounds and bringing a bucking horses in. And that was my main strength, was rodeo with, bulls, saddle bronc, and bareback. And then, it just went from that to, I was out of the Marine Corps by the time I was 22. And I had training as a Marine and fighting, and I had my rodeo experience, so I went right to pro rodeo. And also then I was boxing then, so I turned pro and was pro boxer. I had 35 fights as a boxer.
Whoa, I didn't know you were a boxer.
Yeah, look at my nose sometime. Look at my picture of my nose. And I had it rebuilt in the mid-90s. I had it rebuilt, and it's still crooked. So that's all right. I guess it gives me character.
Wow. I mean, does it hurt at all? I mean, that, you said that you broke your nose so much.
Oh, yeah. This broken nose got to be where it was my nose is always bleeding and it was always crooked. I remember when I had my scuba certification, I went down and I still got the picture in my wallet. My scuba certification. I got two black eyes and a bruised lip. So I always have black eyes and bruised lips.
Oh, man. You must have tons of pictures with, eight bruises and all sorts of stuff. I mean, do you really? I mean, I know some people, they're in the back, but you must have been a lot of sets and been able to take pictures, right?
Yeah. But I never took pictures. Somebody else always sends them to me.
Oh,
and then I had a fire in my house, burned my house, I think 97, if I remember right. And I lost most of my pictures. But people keep running across them and they'll send me pictures of stuff I've done. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's really sweet that they're able to send them to you. So that's really awesome. What are your favorite movies and favorite stunts you've done throughout the years?
Let's see. I liked Jonah Hex real well. We had a ball on that because there was six of us cowboys robbing the train, and we got to stay there for a long time because we was horse guys. But there was a lot of other guys coming in to do first unit stuff. So a lot of stuntmen there. So we got to run in so many stuntmen, and we got to stay in downtown New Orleans and then go out and dress up and rob a train all day on horses and then come back and go out, walk up and down New Orleans. That was pretty fun.
So that was filmed in New Orleans. I thought it was out west.
Nah, it was done in New Orleans, Well, right outside of it. And then we had a train. And so the train would go by and we'd chase it. And then they have to go down. I think they'd take like 20 minutes to go down, turn it around, come back. But we worked out in the sugarcane fields on those horses. And it was about 95 degrees out there.
Ooh.
And then, we did some stuff down to downtown New Orleans. We robbed, the government vault of some kind there. So we robbed that downtown. About two blocks from our hotel.
Cool. You get to rob a bank.
Yeah.
That's going to be kind of cool. They have an interesting job to be able to do all these things. Now, I do have a question because I know, there's two questions I do have to ask because I know a couple people are interested in, and I think you might have friended a friend of mine named David McDevitt. I can never pronounce his name right, and I know he's a big, big Steve McQueen fan. Now, do you remember anything at all working on set with Steve McQueen? Did you actually ever get to speak with him, or were we just like in the background? Do you remember anything about him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He hung out with stuntmen. Stuntmen, he was always welcome wherever he was. He was different to stuntmen than everybody else. He just treated them like they were just like him. But on the other hand, I was so little, so young, that I'm sure he never even took a second. He probably said, "What's this little kid doing on here?" But, yeah, I got to see him, and, I got to watch him and be close to him. And I got to see him when he's getting down in the chutes at Prescott Rodeo Grounds. I seen him when he's getting down in the chutes, and I was close. And so I get to see all that.
That's going to be, you have got to have an awesome job. Because I'm sitting there, and I know that with stunts and stuff, it's really hard work. And usually by the end of the day, stuff that I've done, and it's nothing compared to what you've done, but I'm exhausted. I don't know about you. I mean, after you're done working on a set, you must be, like, tired, right?
Oh, yeah. But, this is an example I use if I go to Miami. This always happens. So if the last day I'm working, I get off at any time. I don't like to go back to the hotel room and try to go to sleep. Because you get at least a 3-hour adrenaline high, and you're going and you're running through and trying to tell somebody, and there's nobody else in the car with you, but trying to tell somebody, I could have done this, this was really neat. So you got like a 3-hour adrenaline high. So if I work in Miami and I get off, I just come home, and then by the time I'm home, I'll be sleepy, and then you get up the next day and still have the adrenaline buzz.
I didn't think of that. I think that's kind of a good thing to think of, yeah. I know that I do see a caller in the queue, but I just wanted to talk before I bring a caller in to see who that is, probably to ask you a question and such. I just wanted to talk about one more set before I bring the caller in. How was it working on the Walking Dead set? I mean, how was your experience when you were working on that?
Well, it was the best. First, I worked with Steve Ritz. He was stunt coordinator. He's an old friend. So, he made it real easy. It was so stinking hot, though. I get sunburned everywhere. But we worked for Frank Darabont, was the director. And he's, I think he did The Green Mile. He did a whole bunch of stuff. And Gail Ann Hurd was a producer. She did all of the Terminator movies. She did The Punisher. She did Die Hard movies, so she was really big time too. So, not just letting our stunt peers down, but we didn't want that director and that producer mad at us or wondering what happened. So that was great. And watch these great, especially Frank Darabont. Just watching him work was great.
Yeah, I've seen. It's kind of funny because when I was watching that, I haven't had a chance to watch it lately, but when I was watching The Walking Dead, and you had mentioned before, you do The Walking Dead, and it was kind of funny because when I was watching it, and I seen, the cars going towards the actor who plays Rick, and there's a casting by, and then it flips over, and then over to the side, and I see this guy. He's all like, you know, he comes out, and I was like, is that Tommy? I was like, that's Tommy. And I was like, no. And it's like, what? And I'm like, oh, it's got to be Tommy. That's got to be Tommy, because it was like, I know that's him, and it's like, he does stunts and stuff like that. And then it's like, afterwards, you were also in the zombie in the city, and you helped to take the horse down where Rick was on it. And I think that's, I mean, how did you transition when there were so many people? Because it must be insane, because there must have been tons of zombies, and you're there. You're, like, kind of in charge of the horse, and it's really important to the safety of the horse. How did you get the horse? I mean, it's training stuff. Does it ever get scary when there were so many people that are trying to, you know, take the horse down? It's your responsibility. I mean, does it ever scare you at all?
No, because first we had a real nice pad for the horse to fall on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, we use that horse on Dark Knight. We use him on Jonah Hex. We use him on Greene and Whitney Brown. We use that horse quite a few times. So Andy was the main actor, and he plays the sheriff. And then John plays his assistant. So they're cocking their guns and getting ready to shoot. And then when he's downtown, it's basically the same people. But we had, what did we have? I think we had, we must have had 500 zombies. But they had to go to zombie school, so they had to learn how to move like that. But when we came to taking the horse down, there's just stunt people close. If you look, my daughter is the blonde that knocks the horse feet out from under him. Actually, the horse is laying down. So she's on the front. Tommy, my son's on the back, doubling Andy, the main actor. And then I'm on a wave in the back, and we just take the horse down and lay it down. So it was really nice. And then we switched to a fake horse when all the people come in and ate him.
Because I was like, no! I was like, no, not the horse! I feel so bad. I'm like, I'm a sucker for it. I was like, no, but I know it's all like, you know, it's all put on for a show, but I'm an animal lover. So I do have a caller in there, and maybe it's somebody that may want to ask you a question. Okay to bring them on?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Shelley. Hey, Tommy, this is Cal Nguyen of Day Zero. How's it going?
Hi, Cal.
Hey, I was told that you were going to be on Shelly's show, Tommy. I think it's a good chance to for the trio to talk a little.
Yeah.
Of LinkedIn, the LinkedIn trio.
Shelly, for a while, on LinkedIn. that's right.
Yeah. How you been, Tommy?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, we're down here. It's about 500 degrees in Florida and rains every day, but that's the summertime.
Wow.
What do you expect?
Yeah. That's dry and hot up here in Utah. But I had a couple questions for you, actually.
Sure.
What kind of props, like weapon props, are you used to, like on The Walking Dead? Is it blanks, airsoft, or what is it?
Yeah, when we come out of the car, I had a Glock, I think it was a 13 shot. So I had, what did I do? I had four squibs on my chest. I come out and I take about seven shots to my right, and I get two shots to my left where that police, the actors were. And then I come back, and as soon as I turn back and I take two shots, they still hit the squibs, bam, 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 four of them on my chest. So I'd take them in order. And then the guys with me who had a shotgun, and Brent in the back seat, I think had a Glock too.
Okay, so is it all in post that they do all the effects in post? It's not blank, correct? Not blank bullets.
Yeah, the blanks. We're shooting blanks.
Oh, they are blanks. Oh, okay. That must be wild.
But they're hot, and and heavy. They feel like a real bullet going off. And the squibs were wired at my leg, and they're shooting them off. So that was those four shots were really, they had to be in exact order, and they were pretty big squibs.
Big squibs. So, okay. Wow, that's nice. Because I've noticed lately they've been kind of going a lot of post with the blood and everything. So, but I was wondering about that, and because we just used squibs on the set of Day Zero for my season two premiere. I don't know. You've probably seen me post a bunch of links out there. I would love for you to watch it and give me your opinion on it. But
sure. Let me write that down.
You want to write it down?
What? Yeah. What's the name of it?
You want the link? You just go to blip.tv /Day Zero TV. And then it'll be like, you'll see it. You'll see it's like the first one, you know. It'll say Season 2, Episode 1.
Okay. Yeah, I'll
look at
that.
I'm sorry?
Hey, you guys should tell exactly the viewers, right, what you guys are talking about. Would Tommy, would you be explaining, it's called squibs, right? Can you explain to the listeners out there what exactly is squibs?
You can explain that better than I can.
Oh, sure. I think Tommy's call is dropped. Tommy, are you there?
Oh.
I think Tommy's call just dropped. Oh, no. I just going to send him a message. Hold on for a second. I'm like, Tommy, call in. Hold on for a second. Do you want to explain to the callers what the squibs are?
I can explain while you get a hold of Tommy.
Okay.
Well, basically, squibs are little blood packets, the stage blood, and it's attached normally to a metal plate that you would hide behind clothing. And you rig it, basically the stunt effects person will rig that with a wire to detonate mm-hmm. remotely. And it's basically
okay.
With a firecracker or something. So, and then so once that's rigged, it has to be timed right, like Tommy was saying.
I think Tommy is back on. Let me just bring him back on for 1 second. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Cal.
No problem.
Hello, is this Tommy?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Tommy. Sorry about that. I'm sitting there, and I was asking if you could explain. Cal was explaining while I was trying to get you back on the air what a squib is, because I know you guys are talking about it, but for the listeners out there, you guys can explain a little bit more about what it's about, in more of your experience.
Did you hear what I said, Tommy?
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah.
Okay. Is that exactly right.
Okay. And if you see some of the movies, they get the big, giant explosions all over everywhere, and they kind of overdo it.
Yeah.
But, and you get a pretty good little pop to it. But I have a pretty big chest, so I like to have them loaded just a little harder. So usually when I hit it, it helps me take it if I could feel it, so just kind of feel it.
Yeah.
That's our experience too, as far as the actors, they feel it and it makes them, get into it really.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's kind of difficult, tricky, because you don't want to wait for it. I mean, you don't want to anticipate it per se, that's your timing, but that's your cue. But it might look delayed, but then that's all right because you gotta. It has a spark, right? So
you don't want
a spark per se in post.
And you got to think of how you're gonna hit. You got to think about it before. So you got to, if it hits you in the chest, they shoot you from the front. You got to go backwards. If they hit you in the back, you got to go forward. And you got to hit the ground. You can't be putting your hands down catching yourself. They're pretty important.
Did they rig you up with front and back at the same time, or just the front?
No, they had, but they rigged. If you look at that car at GTO, they rigged explosions all down the whole side of that thing, and they had all the grass front. They had explosions because the cops are shooting a bunch of bullets. So Yeah, they had squibs all over the car, and they had four big ones on me, so
I'll
take them one at a time and then go back.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's really effective, and kudos to the team who did that, of course.
Yeah, it was good.
That squibs on the car, though, I guess that's some sort of powder.
It looked like Bondo they was putting in there. But so they put, let's see, wait, they hit the tire, they hit the grass all in front of me. There was just wires and a little explosion that they had going to there. But ones on the side of the car, there's actually, I felt little pieces, little burns come off of it. It wasn't very bad, but, you know, I didn't have my earplugs in, and it was kind of hard on the ears. So then I went back, I put one in, and kind of turned my head a little, and it was fine.
Wow. And speaking of Frank Darabont, I guess, you know, it was weird. We were talking about, like, Hollywood and stuff like that on LinkedIn. And, you know, and I'm trying to get investment funding for my show. And, that's the hardest thing to get. But Frank Darabont was apparently mentioned by an investor named Glenn Huang. And I don't know if you've heard of him. But I was wondering if he was real. You know, does he really know Frank? You know, this guy.
I don't know. I'm not for sure. But I'll tell you what, Frank Darabont's a gentleman. He's out in the heat with us in the middle of Atlanta, and he's kind of light skinned. Anyways, he looks like a pumpkin. He got so hot, and his hair's thinning, so he was really red. But the guy just had a smile on his face as long as things went good, and he was just real professional, real friendly. Just what a nice guy.
Yeah, that's cool. It was like this thing that Glenn Huang guy was trying to set up a thing, like an investment meeting, and said that Frank was going to be there. It was out in the L.A. area, and it never happened. You know, and so I was like, I was gonna go. You know, but I don't know. I mean, and I went through the Green Light My Movie website, tried to do it that route, and it was like all these so-called Hollywood studios, you know, and production companies, and I was getting turned down left and right. You know, so until now, I'm on the board in talks with a distributor that is new to the television market, you know, but I think at least it'll make it there, you know. If we're gonna go through this at the same time, at least they approached me, so I figured I'm gonna do this. So all that talk about the indie stuff and whatnot so hopefully I was trying to tell my folks, what I can do for them. If I get a big head, we're all volunteers trying to build up our credits, and get exposure. So there's probably no money for a while. I'm at a loss, so I need a return.
Well, would you be able to, if you don't mind if I interrupt a little here, maybe you can give Tommy a little bit inspiration to Cal about, because everybody has to start somewhere. And I know pretty much, it was years ago for you. I don't know exactly how many years. I don't know where your age. But, when you first started, it must have been slow or something at first. And then it's like, it just takes a while to get going. What advice could you give to Cal to keep going, to give him some inspiration?
Well, the hardest thing is get a distributor. But once you got that, then, you have to live. You have to have your story, and you have to have your actors, and, whatever actors you want, you have to go Screen Actors Guild, or you go to, even for independents, I worked on quite a few independent films, and I didn't even realize they were low budget or independents. Everything went so professional. But you can't get your actors unless you go to Screen Actors Guild, unless you get some theater, theatrical actors or singers or something that, you know, they're good entertainers,
okay.
And they do the part.
So you think distribution is key, is first step.
When you get the distributor, then you got it. You know, that's the hardest thing. I've seen a lot of people that get some good movies, you know, in the can. They get them filmed, they're ready to go. But I tell you what, the 1st of May was like that. I think we won the best movie for Disney, kids movie. And that was a beautiful movie. Mickey Rooney, Joe Campanella's last appearance was in that.
Wow.
And what a great, you know, what a great little story. But they couldn't sell it. I think it was like 3 or 4 years before getting residuals. Maybe longer than that.
Wow.
But,
that's a super movie.
That,
they're all, like you said, it's a SAG signatory. So basically, I hope I'm, in that case, I hope I am, in, you know, on the right path and, you know, and all that with these guys. And it's experimental. I mean, they're new to this themselves, kind of. I mean, but it's like sort of like a launch title in a sense. And you know, it's probably, I think it's going to be like a really independent, like kind of a setup on over the air. And I think all the stuff is, you know, me and my cast and crew is between me and them, you know. So, but they don't have any issues against like non-union, which we are. And
that's no problem there. There are certain limits that you have to go with getting an actor, you know. And it's too bad because I've seen some terrible movies that are sold.
Yeah.
On a good actor coming in, you know, and they saw a terrible movie. But that's kind of the way it goes.
I hear you.
You have to sell it somewhere.
Right. It's got to go somewhere. And if these guys are, you know, they approach me, it's like, okay. I know I have to do an exclusive contract kind of thing, you know, but anything beats the web, in my opinion. I mean, I posted this article about how TV is still the way to go right now, you know, and because there's nothing on the web that is like TV in the sense of like, well, how do you know, Roku may be like a bridge for that, but you know, Roku and Boxy, but there's nothing exactly like it, you know, and so people are still watching their on their tubes. So I agree. I think it'll gain a bigger audience that way. Cause like, I mean, you're on the web, like who knows who we are? You have to do all the marketing yourself, you know, and a lot of word of mouth or paying for advertising. It's really, you know, what I really want is engagement. You know, engagement is probably more important than numbers, you know. I mean, look at the Walking Dead Facebook page. I mean, there's like a bazillion subscribers and likes, posts. But see, it's not just likes. People post all the time. So that kind of gauges like the level of interest, you know, in my opinion. You can have like a lot of likes, but if you don't have anyone commenting, then, you know, that sucks.
Feedback, like, you know what I'm saying? It's really hard. Because I see on Cal's page, and then you see, like, Walking Dead, and it's like, is it the difference between, you know, Walking Dead, is it because it's, you know, major TV, I mean, it's AMC, and then Cal's the web series, but it's independent, and it's kind of like, you know, it's an explosion on The Walking Dead. And then it's, you see with Cal's page, he's very hardworking, and if you see the latest episode, it's starting to, like, really come together. And it kind of has a little bit of action in it, so you might like it. Because I watched it and I got all excited. So you might actually like that latest episode.
There's a lot.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Yeah, especially at the end in particular. So about 21 minutes for the premiere. Shoot me something and let me know. Give me your critique, you know.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I so far positive, you know, reaction. So that's great. Well, thank you.
Well, Cal,
appreciate
Well, Cal, thank you so much. I will post the show when it uploads, and you can, like, listen to this or, you know, share the link afterwards to do some promotion for Day Zero. But thank you so much for calling in and calling anytime.
Yeah, thanks, Shelly. Hey, thanks, Tom.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you soon, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see you guys online.
Okay. All right, bye, Cal.
Take care. Bye.
Oh, well, Tommy. Wow. That's a lot of, that's some nice feedback that you give to people. And what would you, to listeners out there, you know, the people that want to get into stunts, into acting stuff, what advice would you give to people that are just starting out?
Well, it's hard. If you're going for acting, if you don't have an agent, that's really tough to get on. Unless you're, you know, like if, you could be world champion cowboy, and they might be making a Western, and they want to put the world champion cowboy or basketball player or what, then you got a little leverage. But just to be an actor, usually you have to start going to the auditions and getting all the auditions you can. You're going to have to pay your dues as an extra. You're going to have to be in there with the extras, and you're going to get frustrated. And if you can't handle rejection, you're really going to have a tough problem, because you just got to be able and try not to figure it out that you did something wrong, especially if you get a callback. You're not doing anything wrong, but they want to see, like, three finalists. So just if you're acting, just handle the rejection, keep going. And if you have a job to help you get by, that's pretty good, too.
So, like, I know you did a lot of stunts, but did you actually have any parts? Would you ever had any lines? Did you ever do any speaking roles with stunts?
I had a lot of parts. Yeah, I had a lot of parts, a lot of lines. And I'm always a bad guy. You'll never see me as a good guy. Even if I'm a cop, I'm a bad guy. But usually, I had this one movie I was working on, Fizzy Business. And one of my lines was, "Hi, Chihuahua." So, "Hi, Chihuahua," and then I start a fight. But I kept thinking to myself, isn't it "Hi, Caramba"? "Hi, Chihuahua," I never heard that. But all right, "Hi, Chihuahua." So then they said an action. I say, "Hi, Caramba." Two words, and I missed one of them. But they just said, "Hey, Hi, Chihuahua." I said, "Okay, Hi, Chihuahua." But I thought that was pretty lame. But, yeah, I had, like, I think in that movie I had, like, 40 lines of dialogue, if I remember. But most of it was just a few lines at a time. I don't know a whole lot of dialogue.
Like, how do you prepare for stunts? Do you work out? Because, I mean, it must take a toll. I mean, after so many years of doing it, I mean, do you work out? I mean, what do you do to keep yourself going, you know, to do the stunts? Because it's really a lot of hard work.
Yeah, and you have to be like a professional athlete. So, I mean, you don't have to be maybe that, not that good, but you have to be pretty darn good. If you're jumping out of a helicopter with scuba gear or you're riding a horse bareback, you got to be able to do that. You can't be falling off. You can't be getting hurt. If you do fall off, you're going to get hurt sometimes. But
mm-hmm.
You don't want to get hurt every time you go on a job. They're going to say, "Man, this guy gets hurt. We can't use him. He's great, but he can't do it." So most of my stuff I keep loose by martial arts. I get on my horse and bareback and loop circles and eights. I do a lot of sports.
Oh, so you do martial arts. Like, what have you trained in? What?
Most of my highest level, I'm fifth down in taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take taekwondo, you usually take a little hapkido. But I've trained in aikido and basic karate. But my biggest thing is my boxing skills, and you'll
mm-hmm.
see that if on my kicks and if I'm sparring, you'll see my punch first and my kicks off of my punches. But it's just a style I can adapt to several kinds. And usually I find that, like with taekwondo, I went for a specific person I wanted to train with, and they just didn't. You know, Taekwondo is a lot of fast, you know, moving, short punch, jabs, mm-hmm. kicks. But the instructor I had put a little Aikido and Hapkido in with it, so we're doing the kind of the jiu-jitsu moves and the takedowns. And then in the Marine Corps, you know, we did a lot of hand-to-hand combat, so that kind of helped me.
So did you work any on any martial arts films or any, like, fight, like, any big fight films?
Yeah, let's see. My best story is actually not. My best story is we did Andersonville. I think we won an Emmy for it. So we fought 2 weeks. Oh, yeah, Confederate prison. So 2 weeks. Let's see. First week we fought at night.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the Georgia Clay. It was all fighting, punching, hitting each other with sticks. So that really helped. You could take all of that stuff. And then, oh, yeah, I mean, we had 2,500 extras come slamming down off the hill after us. Then the next week, we had a fight during the day. So it was hot and dry and sweaty, and they were fighting. So it's 2 weeks, all we did was fight. You know, I got to come back and do a few little extra things on it. That was a lot of fun.
Wow. How many days? You said 2 weeks?
Well, we did 2 weeks, 1 week of the nights, 1 week of the days, and then I get to come back for a little odds and ends stuff. That's pretty fun.
So what was the most dangerous stunt you've ever done on a film?
All right. This might sound strange, but you have to picture it.
Okay.
It was Andersonville, and we had it was a camp that they cleared off a hill and put up this prison camp, and then afterwards they replanted the whole hill. But we would do the stunt guys would do the fights, and then all of these 2,500, well, they actually couldn't get 2,500. They actually had to put some paper people up there. So and then they even had girls that were kind of skinny they would put in for prisoners because they couldn't get they could 2,500 extras. But we would do the fights, and that was nice, and it was all stunt guys, so it was pretty controlled. Everything was going good. And then off the top of the hill at the end of the scene, they all come running down, 2,500 people, to get in the center, you know, on screen. And they just crushed us. It was like a wave just smothering us. It took all the air out of the bottom. One of our guys going down, we barely got him back up. And then at the end of it, they said, cut. Okay, let's do it again. This time, I want the extras to have that big smile on their face. And don't be looking at the camera. So in the playbacks, every one of them was smiling and looking on camera, trying to get seen.
Oh, that's a big no-no.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told. Never look at the camera.
Yeah. if you're extra, sometimes you want to, you know, stand out a little. You want to be able to go home and say, hey, this is me. See in the middle? This guy here? See a guy looking here? That's me. It's just the way it is. It's all right. But, dang, that was like a big wave just taking the air out of it. It was funny.
So with stunts and stuff, you told me last time your whole family is involved in stunts. I want to hear, so I think, was it your wife and your children and stuff? I want you to tell the listeners about, you have a whole stunt family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, they all just enjoy it. Like my, excuse me, my daughter, Kimberly, she's had her, she's 25, and she's had her union card for 23 years. So we did a movie in North Carolina. They flew us up there first class.
Mm-hmm.
They put a bunch of balloons that were floating away, so she had to jump in and double. The girl is married to Marilyn Manson or Evelyn Rachel Wood. My daughter doubled her. and then to put her up on the top of a tree with all these balloons, a big crane, and she was happy about that. Then we went on a freeway, and she had to ride in the passenger side, and another stunt person, Candy Orsini, was driving. She was in North Carolina, and the Cherokees up there, and they was coming at me about 30, and we shut down the freeway, and I was coming at them. So the actress was supposed to kind of black out, and they're coming right at me at 30. I go around the actress at 30, about had a heart attack. So then I put my daughter and Candy coming down there, and I had to hit 55, and I think they were up to about 45. So we're coming straight at each other, and I had to swerve around them. They just kept going straight. So that was pretty neat.
Whoa. Imagine that. It's like, it's so funny to think that a whole family can, like, work to eat with each other, and it's like really beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, we went to Japan, and I took, I was the main pirate, and we took, my wife played the bartender, so she was warning the guys off the ship that I'm the pirate, I'm going to steal her ship. And then my daughter, Karen, she's a good martial artist, good stunt girl. Well, she was played one of my pirate guys. Because she fights so good. So, and then we took my little daughter, Kimberly, and we climbed up on a mast of a ship. It was 85 feet.
Oh,
and then the Japanese guys saw it, and they just loved her. So she was in everywhere, so my whole family just run around switching parts, doing sword fights, kicks. It was neat. Yeah, axe handles, staff, hands. Had a good time.
Wow. Man, that must be awesome. Just like your whole entire family are working together. I mean, do you guys ever want to kill each other? Because if you're working together in your family.
That's my happy. We went to, where did we go, to Germany, Austria, you know, the Bavarian Alps. So my wife's plan went bad, guys. My little daughter warned us, the town that the bad guys are coming. And then we do another thing where my wife gets off and I shoot her off of a building. She falls right in the middle of a crowd. But all we had to do for the whole, like, I forget how many months we were there, but all we had to do was rob banks. Every day we'd go rob banks. That's all we had to do. I think three times a day we had to go and rob the banks.
Where can you legally do that in real life, is go out and rob a bank and get away with it? And not go to jail.
I would be the worst person in the world if I had anything and I was walking through the terminal, like of airplanes or something, they'd say, "Hey, look at this guy. What's he doing? What's he nervous about?" So I can't, you know, in real life, I don't even want to think about it. And then I think about a movie, it's okay. That's what script is.
Well, so what do you, you said that, if you can, I mean, if you can say on the air, you said you were working with your son this week. Are you able to talk about the project that you're working on this week with your son?
Yeah. Kind of in between. I'm really not working with him. We're over here in Brooksville, and we were working out some stuff with horses. And then, he just got back from Woodard, Oklahoma. He was doing a rodeo out there. And then he came back. We spent a couple of days together. Then he went down. He's working on burn notice. So that's where we got separated. I hope he was going to be here tonight, but they called him to go down there at the last minute.
Oh, that's so okay. I can always have him as a guest. You know, he can always be a guest on my show. Tell me, you know, I'd like to invite him as a guest too.
Sure.
And that'll be a whole show. Tommy Jr. Because does he go by Tommy Jr.? Does he actually have Jr. in his name?
Yeah. If we're on set, people try to always calling us Tommy and Tommy. And I says, you know what? You guys just may as well start on now, senior and junior. It's going to cause you less problems. And by halfway through the day, they're all, hey, senior, junior. It's not confusing then.
Yeah, it doesn't get confusing because you got to really know what you're doing on stunts on sets. You got to, like, pay attention. So does it ever get really that confusing, though, with both you guys on there?
Yeah, no, not at all. If he's on there, he looks like a kid. If I'm on there, I'm just a bad guy. There's no way we're going to get mixed up.
Bad guy. But the bad guy is so
always
cool because, huh?
Yeah, that's what I say. I'm just happy doing it, you know? And,
yeah,
because
without
son,
you guys, your son plays the good guys, but with you, right? Bad guys, if it wasn't for the bad guys and the villains, there'd be no movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, plus, you usually don't have as many lines, and you have to hit the ground pretty hard, but heck, that's okay. You can do that if you're riding out in the woods. But like you see, like Jonah Hex, we're robbing the train. There's six of us. My son is on one horse, and I'm on another horse. But we got these bags over our head with eyes cut on them. It looked like Ku Klux Klan robbing a train. But, but if you look, that horse that my son's on is the same horse that we used on Walking Dead and laid down out there in the street. So yeah, so out of six of us, it's my son and me. That was really neat.
So
yeah, and we worked with Steve Ritchie again.
Hmm. So what, that horse, that one that you say you use all the time, is it the one you have a picture? I think you might have some spots on it. You're laying. I took a picture from your Facebook page. And is that same horse that you keep showing that you're laying down on?
No. The horse I'm laying down on is a yellow horse.
I don't know. I thought it was a brownish color.
I'll have to look at it. I even don't usually look at my pictures on there. Somebody has to tell me usually. But if on, oh, yeah, let's see. So I got photos up here. I'm not for sure which one you mean.
There's one, I think you're making him bow, and you're, like, laying on the ground with him, her or him.
Oh,
I don't know which.
Oh, that's my paint. Nah, that's just my little fun horse there. I have it half goof off with.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was like, I wonder if that's the horse. Okay.
Yeah, I think I think my son has three Briar horses out. I think they're going to do a Briar horse on Blade. He's been on like five big movies. Dark Knight, Jonah Hex, Walking Dead. He's been on a bunch of them.
Hmm.
So.
Well, what, on the Dark Knight, which one, I'm trying to remember, which one was that? Is that the one where he played, where there was a lot of ninjas, where he did a lot of training or something? Is that the one? I'm trying to think, 2000.
That was the one that, that Australian boy, Heath Ledger, who was, he was on it. He played the Joker, I think.
Okay, all right, because there's so many of them, they do so many of them. I'm trying to remember which one, which. Where were you working in the Dark Knight?
Let's see, okay, we won a Screen Actors Guild Award for that. We were, let's see, we're downtown Chicago. Yeah, I think there's 250 extras, and me and a couple safety stunt guys. My son's playing a cop, and I'm playing the bad guy. I'm playing the shooter. So I come out of the crowd, and I shoot, I think I shot the mayor or somebody. I shot somebody. But then my son jumps around, he says, gun. And after I shoot the guy, then you see him take me down. It's that was pretty neat. But that was a crowd scene with, I think it was Assassin's. I don't know what it was. shooting somebody. And then actually, to the funeral of the guy I shot, see, we had, me and my son are on two horses leading, flag cops leading the procession to the funeral.
Okay. I'll have to watch it again because I saw it like once. all the stuff that I'm looking over, everything you've done, like, I know, I thought it was a TV show, but I guess it was 2005. It must have been a remake, The Dukes of Hazzard, because I was looking at that.
I really didn't do anything on that. I just went down there for two light days, and I was going to come back later, and they just didn't have it later that I didn't come back. So I really don't, I don't have any good stories about that, except they're not like nice guys. And, it was another one was in Louisiana down there.
Do you do a lot of film in Louisiana?
Yeah, they did quite a bit because they had the film incentive. And they still have them, but the other states are, especially Georgia, Atlanta, they are really, pumping them out there. I think North Carolina's getting their incentives. Florida, I think, had a $3 million incentive. And
wow.
And they blew it all. It seemed like they all blew it all in one picture, one movie. So, whoever has the most incentives is going to pick up the work for these movies. And sometimes they're kind of a pain when they're in your neighborhood. But, these guys are all different guys. They're Teamsters. All these guys are union guys. They're union jobs. And they have a lot of money that they pump into the economy. So states need to, get involved and take advantage of that.
I see two other films, too, and I know I've seen them because I'm I love Fast and the Furious. And I see Too Fast, Too Furious. Where were you in that film? I saw that in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. We was down in Miami. There's a lot of stuff on the freeways. We were just running cars everywhere on that. We're just driving. We'd all drive in different types of cars. And that one was pretty interesting because we had a first unit and second unit. And the first unit, which is usually the acting parts, but the first unit had just as much action as the second unit. So they had a full crew on the first unit and full crew on the second unit. And so there's a lot of great stunt guys that I didn't really get to see because they were on a different unit.
Mm-hmm.
But, other than Miami, just a lot of fast driving.
So did you get to drive, like, a metal car? Or, like, what kind of car did you get to drive?
Well, I drove several different ones on that. I don't really remember why I was driving on that one. I have to look back at my notes or something.
I'll probably find you. I'll probably go to watch. I was like, there's Tony. I'll probably be looking for you. Well, I'll find you by accident.
Oh, yeah, I know what we did. Yeah, we did a lot of, now I remember. We did some stuff with cops that were pulling out behind the camera car and chasing guys. So
okay.
I think there were like, probably 10, 12 cop cars, the stunt guys. And there's the movie car or the chase car or the actor's car come through there. We come off the side streets and it seemed like we were sitting fast speeds in those little narrow streets in Miami. But we did a lot of stuff on the freeway where we could just go as fast as we want. But those little streets, you always worry about a bogey, a dog come walking out or somebody. So they had to lock them down pretty good. But, there was just that and Miami Vice was just kind of driving. Just driving everywhere.
It must be. You must film on a lot of, really hot days.
Yeah. I found out I've been in the sun all my life, so it really didn't bother me. But I find out if I don't get in the sun enough, and then I go out to a set, I just get burned alive. And it's really hot, really. So you've got to, other than myself, I just get to get out in the sun a little bit, and I turn real brown, and then everything's all right. But if you go out there and you're not used to the sun for a while, and you cook.
You know, how do you, if you're working like 12 to 14 hours a day, how do you keep them dehydrating? Because if you're wearing, I mean, you must have to wear some padding sometime. And if you're working 12 to 14 hours and the sun is beating down on you, you must be sweating a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen it before, and guys can get hot and they kind of get a little dizzy. You know, but the water's there for us. The drinks, Gatorade, that stuff. It's just there. But sometimes if you're working and you can't quite get over there while they're filming, you get pretty hot. Then they always give you a few minutes and you run over there and get your drinks and cool down a little.
So do they have like? Do they ever have, like, I've seen, like, you know, on some stunts they have, like, when people wear costumes, they have, like, you know, blow dryers or something to cool people off. Do you guys have something like that to cool off? Or do you guys, is there actually any shades? Do they have stuff to, like, when you're on downtime and it's really hot and the sun's out there, do they have, like, some sort of umbrella things up or anything for you guys to take, you know, cover when you're not filming?
Well, you just kind of step over where there's shade. Some of the actors walk around with somebody carrying an umbrella for them, but that's okay. Okay, some of them guys are worth $100 million, but yeah. And what you'll do, though, if you get in wardrobe, they'll have so many changes for you, and they'll come out and make sure you're not too wet and that they dry you off. You know, you kind of feel like a sissy, that they're drying you off, patting you down. And then they'll say, if it's going to be a while to set up another shot, to say, okay, you guys go back and get your dressing rooms. Don't sweat on these clothes. So,
is it a wardrobe area? Do you get AC? I mean, do you ever have a trailer or anything when you're working on there, or you just have,
some of them have dressing rooms, and they have a place. We worked with Sarah Wayne Callies. She was a girl on Walking Dead. I worked with her a couple times before, but she's the nicest person, and she always worried about the stunt guy. She said, "You guys could come in my room. We got to get this trailer over here."
Who's this? Which actress?
That is Sarah Wayne Callies.
Which actress is this? Because I don't know all their names.
Well, Sarah, I think they killed her or something on that Walking Dead.
And they kill everyone.
I worked with her on another one.
They kill everyone.
Yeah, I worked with her on another one. I was a conquistador, and then I come back into the future, and I'm a Peruvian rebel. So we're robbing people. So she, you want to make sure you don't hurt her. She was, so go over. And they had picked me, I drug her out of the car, put her on her knees, and I put a gun to her head. And we got, we did her a couple rehearsals. She says, I'm not fragile. my husband's a martial artist. You can be a little rougher. I say, she's a million-dollar actress, so you always got to be careful. But it's nice when somebody says something like that. Because you can't hurt them or anything. And then if you got one that's that nice and considerate, worry about you getting hot. Even though we have dressing rooms, she didn't know. And she tells, come on in her room. Everybody come in here. You're going to get cool. So
aww.
When you get something like that, it's nice.
That's very sweet. I like hearing stories like that because, as I'm getting deeper into things, and it's known that actors, stunt people, they're just like regular people. And then when you hear about these experiences, you're working on set, and you hear how people are just normal. It's nice. It's nice to hear those stories instead of, like, you know how the media likes to portray all this bad stuff, but it's like when you have people, you know, I'm able to bring on my show, and you're like, these, like yourself, you've been working on sex, and then you talk about the actors, and you have the experience like, yes, I was there. You know, it's not like rumors or hearsay. You actually had it on set. So that's really nice. I mean, who do you think a person that you work with was, you know, who's some of the nicest people that you've worked with in the business?
Well, the nicest guy, well, not the nicest. He's one of the nicest. Larry the Cable Guy. You know, you wouldn't think.
Really?
But, you know, I don't know. He's fine. He's got to be worth a lot of money. So, he's Larry the Cable Guy, but he's also a multi-million-dollar actor. So, but he said, come here, look at my RV, and showing these drop-down televisions and stuff, and his barbecue outside. You know, it's pretty funny. And then, like with him, it was really nice because I said, hey, can we get a picture before we leave? And he said, yeah, sure. Well, they cut him early. So he went back, and they took him over in the car, and he changed his clothes and got showered up and everything. And then he was off set. He comes back over. He said, okay, Tommy, let's get the pictures. I said, okay.
Aww.
That's a heck of a nice guy that would do that.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's really kind of cool. Man, you have all the fun. You get to, seriously, it's like, I know it's hard work, but working on the set, you get to play make-believe, you play a bad guy, you get to rob banks, you get to ride horses, you get to rob trains. I mean, that's going to be an awesome job.
Yeah, it's like, when I grow up, I want to do what I'm doing now. I never want to quit.
You're never going to grow up.
Nah.
Speaking of never growing up, I see something, if you can actually remember it, because I grew up in a lot of things like The Muppets, and I saw on your IMDb page, I saw Muppets from Space. Can you remember working on that set? Because I've always loved The Muppets. I mean, can you tell about your experience and what you did with The Muppets?
Well, we went to North Carolina, I believe Wilmington, we did that. And so we were the guards, so we're trying to keep the Muppets from escaping. So we had Dean Mumford was coming one way, and I'm coming the other way, and some extras kind of behind us. So we hit each other from different directions, and we fall back. And we did it for, how many days we did it. We really had fun. It was really nice. The people were great. But I remember when I hit the ground, I was laying there, and somebody was talking to me, and I looked up, and these Muppets were talking. They were on a gurney. And I'm looking, I see, I got it. And then I realized, these are puppets. There's no people here. Where's the people making them talk? Because somebody's talking to me. So I had it off. You know, I was around the corner. They had those guys set up talking. And then, so, yeah, we keep those Muppets from escaping. And, they get out, and they go into the elevator and escape. We barely missed them. But they cut almost all of that scene out. But they do still have it.
Really?
Yeah, so if we're running together, I think we had black uniforms on. We looked like military. We ran each other, hit each other, and go down. That was, that was kind of it. And then we chase them. So, yeah, it was pretty fun.
Oh. Now I'll be, like, looking for you even more and stuff that I've watched. I'm going to be like, oh, I got to look for Tommy. I'll be like, is that Tommy? If I, you know how you can, like, find anything on YouTube, I'll be, like, pausing and go, hey, there's Tommy, because I'll be looking for you from now on.
You're just going to keep working and keep, doing things and, you have your own projects that you're trying to do, too, and
mm-hmm.
You do this Larry the Cable Guy golf tournament in October. So I'm trying to set up a team of stuntmen. And so I don't usually golf. I do it once a year. But now I've got two golf courses that let me golf for free anytime I want and use the driving range for free. So until this is October, I think it's 25th or something like that. But until then, I'm just going to golf more than I ever in my life.
And is it for charity or what is it?
Yeah, it's Larry the Cable Guy is really into children's cancer, and he's also this charity is for them, and it's also for the Simplify Foundation, which is the Marine Corps. So I'm really happy about doing anything for the Marine Corps. You know, all my kids were born while I was in there. You know, I was spent 4 years of my life in the Marine Corps, so it's something you never forget. And now to be able to help and pay back these people and, these young Marines and the ones that get hurt, the Simplify Foundation is great.
Well, if you ever have, I was like, I know you probably got a lot of help with promotion and stuff, but if there's anything like, about the golf or anything like that, pro or anything, let me know and I'll talk about it on my show. Just give me a holler anything whatsoever. Just let me, anything whatsoever, Tommy, just let me know. And I'll mention about the show. You're always welcome to be, a guest on my show anytime. Just let me know and anything you need help promoting or, anybody that would like some promotion, just go, hey, my friend Shelly Nunchucks, give her, send her a message and she'll get you on the show. Anybody that wants a little bit of promotion, let me know.
That'd be pretty nice because some of the guys I know are like master martial artists and they've been at it, they're like 20 years older than me. But they're still active, they're still working, they're still doing charities, they're still putting together movies. There's a lot of people that that I know that you'd probably be interested in and probably be happy to talk to you.
Oh, great. Just let me know, and I'd love to have them on the show, especially if it's like, if they want to give back, and that's what I'd like to do is also to help out and give back in my own way, even if it's like giving promotion on here, because I'm not like a rich person. I don't have money to give, but in my own way, doing the show, this can be heard anywhere around the world because I've had people from the UK, my show. I mean, many different places and such, China, England, Netherlands, hear it, and I never know who will be like listening to it. So if you need help with anything, just let me know, and I'd love to bring it up on my show.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Cool. And I just want to talk about, let's see, because I know it's getting a little bit late and you're probably tired too, and I just wanted to know one more thing. I think I'm seeing on your IMDb page, I think it says Black Dog. Now, I might be wrong, but was that a Patrick Swayze film?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was in Atlanta. And then
they did part of
the North Carolina. Is it the what? Oh,
the truck
was
where he...
That was it, yeah. And Meatloaf was in it. And, it was... I didn't do a whole lot in it, so I don't really have many stories. Except I worked with Meatloaf's daughter on a movie in Miami, and I said, hey, I know your dad. She says, you are dad? Yeah, I know Meatloaf. Don't know his music, but I remember it.
Cool. Let's see. All right. I just want maybe one more tiny thing. I'm just like looking at the IMDb page, see if there's anything else that I might. Let's see. Anything else that I might know? What is Fortune Hunter TV series? What sounds familiar, but that rings a bell. What was Fortune Hunter, the TV series?
It was. They didn't do very many. I think they only shot like 6 episodes, and it didn't work very good. But it was the same time as Super Force, Superboy, Fortune Hunter. So there was a lot of work that stunt guys could do. It was a really nice time. But it's I don't know what I could tell you about it. It's just it didn't go over with the audience.
Oh, okay, because it was quite a few. It's like five or six, I think, maybe episodes you were in, because it was listing on that. It was like Fortune Hunter. Almost sounds like a video game. It almost sounds like something they took off a video game somewhere. So, well, let's see. How about Thunder in Paradise? Is that Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan and Jack Lemmon's son, Chris Lemmon. And who's that? Carol Alt. And my daughter doubled the little girl on it. So, yeah, that was really neat. I think they have me listed in the credits as Thug Number 2 and like 10 of them. I always Thug Number 2.
I think you're mostly like thugs and stuff, but it says Thunder in Paradise, it says video, and it says stunts. Like, yours just goes stunts, and I'm like, wow, if anybody looks up your IMDb page, it's like a long list. I'm like, whoa,
I can't get them to fix, like Revolution. You know, I did the series for Jeff Wolf, we did in North Carolina, and they have me under some video or something, but I can't get those guys to change it. I don't know why it takes so long. But, yeah, so there's a lot of mistakes. But see, I think they have 35 mistakes, and I got 30 movies I want to add, but I can't even get the ones fixed that they have on there. So it's all right. I guess it's pretty good. And if you want to look up any actor, that's the place, the easiest way to look up any actor that you want to know.
Yeah, it's like a bazillion. It's like network, like finding out what actors do and stuff. I think I have to update mine someday. I've been working on the same film, and it's a lot of work. So I definitely give lots of respect to you, Tommy. And let me know, you know, if you ever want to be on the show again, once again, anything promoting, you know, if you want your son, your daughter, your wife, anybody on the show, let me know, and I'd love to have them as a guest on my show.
Sounds good. Yeah, I appreciate that. We'll be happy to do it.
Okay, and anything you want to, any shout-outs to anyone or anything new that you're working on that's coming up, any new films or anything you'd like to let us know about that you can talk about?
Well, I don't mind. The problem is, if you say you're going to do it and you think you got it, then sometimes it just goes away and you never hear anything again. So there's a deal I want to do in China.
Oh.
That would really be nice. Yeah, that would really be nice because, you know, I like to go to, like, Japan or Europe or something, and you just get a train pass, you get on a train, and you can go home anyway. You know, you can go 30 miles this way, 30 miles this way, so you don't have to go through, you know, the cities. You can go over a little and just go through the regular, where the real flavor is, the real, you know, the real life is. So I would love to go over there to China. That would really be fun.
Sweet. Sweet. Yep, you're a man right up my alley. Yeah, definitely. I definitely would want to see China, definitely. No wonder why. You are cool, Tommy.
So
I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show tonight. Once again, you know how to get a hold of me, you know how to get in touch with me. Anytime you need some promotions, any help with any charities, just let me know.
Be happy to call you. If you need anything from me, I'd be happy to send something your way or whatever I can do. Just you can call me anytime.
Thank you so much, and once again, thank you for being on my show tonight.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your night.
All right. I think it's going to be a short one because I've been working all day, too, so.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking for like an hour and a half nonstop, so I figure, you know, I've had a long day, you had a long day, and I think we can call it a night.
Yeah.
Thank you once again.
All right, Shelly, I really appreciate you calling in.
All right,
thank
you. All right, bye-bye.
All right, we'll see you later, bye.
Okay, bye. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in. It's the Shelly Nunchuck Show, and remember, all those who have a dream, just remember, you are as good as anybody else, so you go for it. I've had a long day, 10-hour working, then we did the radio show. Once again, Tommy, thank you for calling in. That was Tommy McTurvey. It's T-O-M-M-I-E, but I think on his IMDb page, it's T-O-M-M-Y, Mac, M-A-C-K, Turvey, T-U-R-V-E-Y. Remember that he's a senior, his son is the junior, so if you want to look him up, and he has a Facebook page if you'd like to friend him. And remember, if you want to be a guest on my show, feel free to get a hold of me. I'd like to have you on here. You know, stuntmen, actors, anybody, just get a hold of me, and I'd like to have you on the show. Anyway, everyone, I am so beat, ready to go. Night with my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. Can't wait to cuddle up with her. So once again, just remember, if you have a dream, go for it. Thank you all for tuning in. Good night.
Why turn?